Welcome to the Healthy Hustlers Podcast, a series of healthy conversations with inspiring hustlers. I'm your host, Madeline Carafa.
Today, I'm incredibly honoured to be joined by one of my all-time favourite humans. A professional surfer on the World Surfing League, Sally Fitzgibbons is a definition of a ray of sunshine. Incredibly humble and wise beyond her years, she describes the ocean as her office. A true sports lover, Sally grew up in the south coast of New South Wales, embracing outdoor activities and becoming the youngest and fastest to ever qualify for the World Surfing Tour. Confirming her place in the up-and-coming Tokyo Olympics, Sally continuously challenges herself to master her craft while finding new ways to strengthen and challenge her body. A true inspiration, Sal is an incredible role model who spreads good vibes wherever she goes, with her energetic and infectious personality and down-to-earth nature. This conversation has been a long time coming, but it was so worth the wait. Happy listening.
Before we get started with today's episode, I did just want to let you guys know that due to the current restrictions that have been enforced due to COVID-19, I'm no longer able to record interviews in person. And if you have been following the Healthy Hustlers for quite some time, you will know that all the interviews are usually conducted in person, but the health and safety of my guests is number one priority. So therefore, they have been recorded online. So the sound quality may vary from other recordings, but I appreciate your understanding during this time. This episode of The Healthy Hustlers is proudly brought to you by Table of Plenty's new probiotic kefir, pourable yogurt, and delicious range of functional mueslis. Hello, Sally Fitz, and welcome to The Healthy Hustlers podcast. To say that I'm excited to have you here is the biggest understatement ever. I'm like absolutely bursting with joy to be talking to you. How are you?
Oh, Mads, I'm a big fan of the show. This is an honour to be on and, it should be a good chat. I'm stoked.
Oh, so excited. So how are you going at the moment? There's obviously so much change and craziness happening in this big wide world. So how are you personally going?
So much change. It's so wild. I'm sitting here right now and obviously I'd love to be in studio with you, but we have so many restrictions. It's not the case, but I'm sitting in front of a big kind of map on my wall of all, it's got all the pins of where I've traveled, where all the events have been, surf trips over the years, and I've just gone, wow, like no one is flying in aeroplanes right now.
How crazy is that to comprehend? Like, I know we were chatting about it before we hit record, but I actually said that to one of my best friends the other day. I'm like, think of all of the places that you've been, all of the countries you loved and the beautiful streets you walked. Like no one is walking in those streets right now. Like everyone is inside. And it's just the weirdest, craziest, most surreal thing to try to comprehend.
Oh, it's insane. Like you think about it and, you know, for a while there, it felt like the world was so small. Like when I'd go away for work or go away for events and I'd always kind of say to whether it was family or friends, oh, I'll be back in a heartbeat. Like I'm just going over for a day. And you'd pop over to the US for 2 days or to work with a company. You go to an event over in Europe for 2 weeks and the world started to feel quite small and convenient. And then I feel in this latest pandemic in the last couple of months, it makes the world feel so far away.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so, so true. And it almost, I guess the word isolation feels quite real right now because you feel so small in your huge city that once felt so full and lively and everything. So yeah, that's such a good way of looking at it. I would love to know though, one self-care practice that you've been incorporating lately to really, I guess, just ease that bit of stress or anxiety that might hit at times with so much uncertainty.
Yeah, that's a good one, Mads. I feel as though it goes in surges. Like every couple of days I get that like kind of restless feeling. I don't know about you, but it just feels like something's up. Like it's, you sort of do your day and you kind of get distracted by tasks, or for me, I'm still training really hard. So that day kind of feels familiar and then some days it doesn't. So I kind of just use my movement and training to try and recalibrate. So I'll do certain sessions that really kind of ground me. But I also, when I'm going through that session, whether I'm in the pool on the bike running out of my board, I kind of go to myself like, oh yeah, that's not my energy. Like, I just stop for a second, and there's that acronym called ACE. A few people obviously use those mindfulness techniques and meditation, all sorts of things, but a quick one is just kind of to acknowledge it and acknowledge what you're feeling, and then connect right where you are. Say I'm in the water, I kind of feel the water between my toes, or I just the rails on my board, or whatever it is, the wind. And then I kind of just engage again, like right where I am, and just go, okay, like this. And then whatever's happening real time, I try and like watch a seagull and just kind of really put myself back in the present moment and just remind myself, I guess, yeah, that energy is out of my control, and it's just, it's not mine. So I can kind of carry on with what I'm doing.
Yes. Oh, that is such a beautiful way to look at it. And I think I've definitely personally found a lot of comfort in nature lately. And I think when I'm feeling a little bit uneasy, or, you know, that kind of anxiety does creep in because there's just so much uncertainty of when this is going to end, or, you know, when we're going to be able to travel again or see our family and all of that. And I'm finding nature, which it always is, grounding for me, but probably more than ever right now. And I just find myself like walking through the park and looking at the leaves and the trees. And I kind of just keep saying to myself, like, this is Mother Nature's time to shine. Like, this is what she needs. And I'm finding a lot of comfort in just immersing myself in that bit of nature to just know that, like, there's a reason why this is happening, and like everything, it will pass, but right now it's not about us, it's about, you know, something greater.
How cool is nature though, in a sense?
Oh, seriously.
For me, it just fascinates me every single day. Like, I get lost in it about every single day. Because a lot of my time is spent when I am out on my board, and the training days, my regular days are quite isolated, so I don't actually see a lot of people, interact with a lot of people, which surprises many. But the time I pop my head out of the sand, and I've done, you know, like, I've had gym, and then I've had 2 to 3 surfs, and then you have all your video review, and these things, I just kind of had to rearrange and be flexible around restrictions. And obviously I'm just going to beaches that are open, and when there's no one out surfing, or it looks like, yeah, a really quiet moment, I run out really fast, like a little grommy, and catch as many waves as I can, and then run back in, and do my gym, obviously, in my garage at the moment. So I've got, you know, when you move out of home, because I spent the last few years where, I guess, the schedule meant I didn't stop in at Daroa, like, as much as I normally would. And so I've come home, and this is the longest I've been home in probably 4 or 5 years.
Oh, my goodness. So crazy.
I had to dust off all the old gym gear, and my parents, is like, they built a bathroom out of my bedroom, but they just filled my garage space with storage stuff. So I've been unpacking it all, but I've been bench pressing and squatting under like piles of boxes and full rocky stuff.
That is so funny. I love it. I bet you your mum and dad are so happy having you home though for a little bit, especially your mum. She doesn't get to see a huge amount of you when you are touring, does she?
I know, that's the most beautiful part to all of this, is actually being like calm in the space of my parents are so used to me coming in like a whirlwind, and then, you know, chucking my washing in the laundry, unpacking board bags, and I have like one day. It feels a lot like The Amazing Race. Like, I've got one day, I'm like, hey, this happened, this. I've got lists, and then everyone's like running out to get different things. So we're a great team, and I love that my parents are still involved in my work and helping out. And, they're my number one fans, obviously, on the beach when I'm surfing. But behind the scenes, they're like the WD-40. They just keep it all running and helping me out. So, bless, I get to be a bit calmer, Mads, and actually stop and have a conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so funny because, you know, obviously I got to work with you for many years, which I feel very privileged about, but you were actually, you and Joel, I used to always look at your life and it was like, you guys were so busy and you were at the absolute top of your game, but you were always able to hustle so hard and keep really healthy. And it's honestly what inspired a lot of the Healthy Hustlers, because I was just so amazed by your ability to stay at the top of your game when your schedules were just so back to back. Like, and I remember when we'd used to go on photo shoots and you guys, like, especially you're like, oh, I'm flying out at like 10 a.m. tomorrow to the US, and then I'm off here, and then I'm competing here. And I was like, oh my goodness, I feel overwhelmed just listening to you, Sal. And so I was always just so intrigued by how you were able to stay performing at that level. And obviously it is because of how much you prioritize your health and your fitness. So I'd love to know kind of what a daily routine looks like for you, I guess, from waking up to going to bed, because I know there's a lot of physical training in there, but you also have, you know, a business and, you know, you're a personality. So there's brand opportunities and responsibilities that come with that as well. So I'd love to kind of get an insight into your hustle.
Oh, for sure. The hustle is real, Mads. I love that it's called the healthy hustlers, because there's so many people that share in that energy of, and I find the passion behind and that drive to be operating at that pace comes from loving that element that you're doing. It just brings you a lot of joy. So picking the craft I did in surfing allowed everything else has come off the back of that. And when I was a kid and picked up my boogie board at the age of 3 and 4, I couldn't actually imagine that this was possible. Like the role I'm playing now and what I'm doing wasn't, or really didn't actually exist. So I feel as though out of that, I've had to go like, wow, that's pretty cool. I've really trusted my instinct and then just backed that feeling, because there were so many forks in the road and like a lot of them were dead ends and a lot of them were like that computer game when we were grommies called Pitfall, where you, the little thing like just runs off the end and you're like, oh my God, I'm free falling. I've gone the wrong way. I need to backtrack here. And so you don't quite know where it leads, but I think I just have a lot of trust in myself that if I'm being led by my craft and my creativity in the water and wanting to always kind of better myself as an athlete and in that bucket, I feel like everything else sort of operates smoothly, if that makes sense. So but back to your question, in terms of a day, it's crazy that in surfing, like one day is never truly the same. Like the wave that you surf today or just then, I've just come in from the water, I'll never see that condition again. I'll never surf that wave the same. So every day I feel like I'm opening my eyes to a fresh new start, and so it keeps me very invigorated to keep on the hustle of what it is to try and get better at surfing, and it's a never-ending piece of string. And then so really I get to set my day to the tides, the wind, the swell, and just knowing at any given time I kind of know all these breaks in my head. It's like having, you know, the car nav men, it's like having a sat nav in your head, and you just know, it's this instinct that just drives you. You go, oh, I know this break's going to be on. It likes the incoming tide. It's 2 hours off that tide. I'm out there. And you literally drop everything and then your wetties on, you're doing your warm up and you're out there. And that'll happen, that kind of fire drill will sort of happen 2 to 3 times a day. And then in around that becomes the imagination part of how you're going to do your cardio and your weights. So they kind of alternate days where it's like you're lifting one day and then the next day might be, I don't know, I might surf one place and then I get this idea. I'm like, wow, that hill looks like it really wants to be run up. That's an amazing hill. And I just have all my stuff in the car, so then I can jump out and just do hills, and then that might turn into like getting home and biking, or it might get in a groove of, oh, okay, if I can bike to this coastal track and then I can run there and back, and then jump on my bike, check this wave on the way back, and then do these sprint hills. So it's really hard to say to someone, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to do at this time and this is where I'll be. So I kind of go on these tangents and I just sort of disappear for a while and then just see where it leads. And I think that's when I'm at my absolute best, is when you kind of have this gentle framework and then you let the creativity and your imagination keep driving where that feel is in the day, instead of it's Monday to Friday. In certain sports, it's so locked in, and that exact session happens for the same time for the next 30 years. So it's just not the case in my instance.
Yeah, that, and it's so interesting that what you said about the ocean, because one of the things I've always loved so much about the ocean and being by it is that it changes every day. Like if you were walking it, I've always been, I guess, amazed when people love a river so much. And it's just a personal thing. Like I, you know, like you, I grew up on the beach. So I'm naturally so drawn to the ocean. But my thing with it is that it's every single day that you walk it, it is completely different. And, you know, the wind's going a different way. The tides look different. Like some day it's crystal blue and like clear as a bell. And other days it's like rough and choppy and windy. And it always just brings me so much comfort. And I think you just instantly feel so at ease when you're by it. So I loved what you were saying then about how every surf for you is totally different. And it's such an, I've never looked at it from a surfer's perspective. So yeah, I really liked hearing that. I think that's a really cool way of,
sure.
of looking and at your sport.
It's so many moods. There's so many personalities to the ocean. So even though you have yourself orienting around a task, like today I was working on aerial maneuvers. And so in my head, I'm trying to piece together how that maneuver works. But in a sense, when I'm sitting at the back of the lineup, I'm taking in all these other things. Like I'm watching every ripple move. I'm watching every wave move. I'm watching the birds fly over my head. I'm looking out towards this rock to see if there's a wave hitting that one and it indicates this is happening. So I'm just really, I guess, easily entertained by what nature is providing for me. And that is, a really cool indicator is when you can just get lost in something and it's just effortless to be in it. So every yes. day you can get up and it's telling you a story and it's just effortless to be shown what is happening on any given day or moment. And I think like I would always encourage people to try and find that outlet for themselves in their work, play, or you know, self-care time. Find something yes. where you can just get lost in it, like whether it be in the kitchen and you just kind of tinkering with like different recipes and all of a sudden 2 hours is gone. That for me is meditation in my
absolutely
instance. It's not a forced thing and you're not trying to keep going, okay, is it 2 minutes of this and then I'll feel better, or do I feel relaxed if I sit in this place? I find when you over structure things, that's when it just becomes, I don't know, forced, and you
definitely
you don't really get the outcome.
And almost a little bit overwhelming as well, because it's like you almost set up a false expectation for yourself of what you wanted something to be or how you want it to play out, instead of just being in the moment and kind of going with it.
Oh, that's 100%. That's it.
For me, cooking's always been an amazing form of meditation, and it's why I probably don't necessarily enjoy following recipes, because I get so caught in the measurements and how it's meant to look and taste and, you know, oh, I don't have that, or I just have a little less than I'm meant to for that. And so instead I try to get inspiration from cookbooks, but then go on my own little tangent with it, because it's like I find it really quite calming, and it's I'm not attached to how I feel it's meant to turn out. Instead, I'm just really surprised and happy when it turns out well.
Oh, I love that. I find it, I am exactly the same in the kitchen. I'll come in and I just had it, like when you're in the ocean, you tend to get pretty hungry a lot of the time.
Yes.
So sometimes you get a little distracted with, I wonder what I'm going to eat when I go in. when the wave starts slowing down and you've been out there for hours, you're like, oh, actually, I remember there's like a pumpkin in the fridge. And then you get this brainstorm idea and I'll like run home from the surf. I'm really blessed where I am. I can be in and out of water in a couple of minutes. I take my wetsuit off and I'll still be in my towel and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll just start steaming the pumpkin, because then I could make this loaf thing. And then I start doing the ingredients and I realize like I still haven't got changed from the surf, and it's about an hour later and I'm still trying to work out how to do this like pumpkin loaf thing. So I definitely find it just a really creative space for me as well in the kitchen, and same with recipes. I definitely deviate from the recipe because I'm like, oh, I don't have that, but I know that tastes like that, and I can add a bit here. And I'm so a real taste tester.
Oh, so good, so good. So I guess, would you say that there's been any moments or experiences throughout your childhood that has kind of really helped shape your identity?
Oh, for sure. I definitely feel just the environment that fully surrounded me. I kind of feel like it's been uninterrupted space to play, and that imagination word keeps coming up for me, because I find if you give something a little time and space, it'll show you the way. And being from a small coastal town that only has probably 300, 500 people in summer. Little Drawa is it's really special because it felt like a really safe haven. My parents, and being from a bigger family, I had three older brothers, so competitive spirit was definitely in the household. And they were obviously into really interactive sports and kicking balls, like tackling in the backyard, playing cricket, whatever you could think of. And so I towed into a lot of that style of play. And then before I knew it, I was just in love with sport. But in terms of, I'd wake up before school and I'm like, oh, wow, this is exciting. I can run around the block in this time, grab my BMX bike, do a couple of laps, run up the hills, then I want to go surfing, then I want to do this. But I didn't know, like, no one was ever giving me that playbook, or you have this much time to do half an hour of soccer training. I would just see things and do them. And I feel as though that maybe because there wasn't a lot of stimulation from like living in a big city or growing up in a big city, that gave me the time to do it that way. You know what I mean? Pick up all my different toys and just play until the lights went out, and then wake up and do it all again the next day. And then the ocean for us was our, that was our daycare, our playground before school, after school. So all these things in my environment just allowed me to become me. And now that I'm nearly 30, that's never left. The more I kind of feed that, the more everything else thrives.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I can resonate with just growing up in such a, I guess, wholesome environment, 200 meters from the beach. And, you know, as kids, we used to just make cubby houses, and like my mum had the local hairdressing salon. So it was, the rule was just be home before dark, and we'd ride our bikes and build cubbies with, you know, all the, there was always just boys in our town. So all the boys, I was the only girl growing up.
Yeah,
nearly.
That was me too. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. And it's so funny because it's just this really kind of innocent way. Like I look at it now and I reflect back and I'm like, I was so innocent and in a beautiful way, so naive to what was out there in the world. And I think, you know, my mum always really encouraged us to travel and would tell us about how she lived in London and would go to Melbourne to see my grandparents and stuff. So I always knew there was this big wider world out there, but our upbringing was just so wholesome. And it's funny now living in Melbourne in I guess such a hustle and bustle, and you know, I call it the rat race, because some days I just feel like I'm in a rat race, and you know, I'm just being pulled more and more towards going back to that really wholesome, slow lifestyle. And I definitely think it's something, as you know, you get older, that you just appreciate more and more and more just how much that gives to you. Like it just is a gift that keeps on giving back, really. And I just think it instills so many beautiful qualities and values in you that as a kid you're almost so unaware that you're developing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so I just, yeah, I love that you had just such that active, wholesome upbringing, and it shows in you right now, like just your eagerness to always keep driving and searching for better waves and better places to travel. And I just love that about you so much. It's awesome. We'll be right back after this healthy break. We have all heard that our gut plays a huge role in keeping our bodies and our minds happy and healthy. Well, nourishing your body and getting your daily dose of inner goodness is now even easier with Table of Plenty's new probiotic kefir, pourable yogurt, and delicious range of functional mueslis. Their probiotic kefir is packed with 10 live cultures and more than 90 billion friendly bacteria, 10 times more than regular yogurt, making it a great add to your morning brekkie. Like all things Table of Plenty, the probiotic kefir and prebiotic fiber muesli nourish your body from the inside out. Enjoyed together, they are the perfect combination of pre and probiotics that you need for a happier, healthier gut, and a great way to kickstart your day. Look for them today at your local Coles supermarket. I would like to shift gears a little bit though and chat to you a bit about how you're going at the moment from a business perspective. And I guess if you've had to really pivot given the current environment and the changes that are happening and I guess the restrictions that have been put in place.
Yeah, I feel as though it's a time where it was, I guess, a good pausing moment for everyone to obviously take a stock take on where you probably are in terms of business and investment, what you're building, projects and timelines, those things that everyone seemed to, I noticed in the first month of the lockdown, always be kind of, in search of, I'd better learn something new or pick up something new to almost, so the time, this time off's kind of reflected on and going, oh, that was a success. Look what I learned. But maybe it's something that they won't carry on with once all the restrictions, everything's lifted and everything goes back to the same pace it was. I definitely kind of feel a lot of people would be like, oh, I don't actually do that anymore. And so I kind of felt that in terms of looking at what time I have now, it's just like, say you're looking at your craft and what you do is a square. I feel like that in that box that we only ever really operate in that middle part because it's at such a high pace, it's really hard to get to the corners and live your craft or your work like fully. So I've really been able to use the time to actually just archive all these things and create processes and frameworks. So when everything does speed up, that I'm like, okay, really, I've got a good process for that. That's not going to run into a hole and get overloaded and never get to, or that project that I've been saying I need to start and I just haven't had time, or even down to just daily operations, like, and taking minutes on the meetings you're having, but really storing them in a place that you're going back and reading over your notes during the week and not just writing them on scrap pieces of paper that you never find again. I don't know if anyone else feels similar, but you just feel as though there's so much within the scope of what work is for me that I really just endeavor to live it fully and experience it. And at times, I'm okay with the fact that it will move fast when it speeds back up and you will travel to a new country every week and it does feel like, whoa, I feel like I'm on fast forward again, what's happening? But I almost feel like I can surrender to those space, that time and those spaces, knowing that I can trust what's underneath. And so I definitely feel after kind of 15 years kind of on the professional tour or, you know, working in the scope that I'm working now, is that, yeah, that I've built something that has stood the test of time and new generations have come onto the tour now and the WSL, our World Surf League's changed a lot. So, yeah, it's something that it's quite reactive sort of game, working with different brands and campaigns and also a sport like surfing that's evolving really quickly. So the finish line or the goalposts are moving all the time on you and you're like, well, what's expected of me and that's going to change next year, or, you know, or this skill set I don't have, I've got to develop really quickly. But, yeah, I'm trusting in that I do have a good framework to my business model and it's operating well.
That is such an awesome way of looking at it, and I have never, ever thought of it from that perspective, and I just loved that so much. And I think it's so true because it feels like, and I know personally I was really guilty of it, of when I think going into a year like 2020 that kind of had this really magical feel about it, you know, and everyone was so amped to get into 2020. And, you know, from the get-go, it's kind of been a really horrific year with the bushfires taking place here in Australia, and then obviously what's happening now with the COVID-19. And when all of these restrictions started getting put in place, I naturally went from like, oh my God, how am I going to achieve all my goals? Because they require me to be one, traveling and in person and, you know, all of these things that were totally not allowed to be doing. And all of a sudden I was like, found myself almost being overwhelmed by feeling the pressure of having to write more goals so that I could get to the year and be like, yes, I did it, or I ticked some things off. But at the same time, I've felt this massive urge to just embrace the stillness and to embrace being present and to realize that maybe this was a time we're all being given to not to clutter our life more, or like you said, put in things that we won't continue doing. Instead, we're actually just meant to pause and we're meant to reflect on what's working, what's not working, what are we missing? Like, what do we crave in these days, and what are the things that we were having in our life that we're not craving so much? And I think it's so easy to be unaware of how we feel when we are just so busy and you know, on that ever-spinning wheel. So I'm trying really hard to, I guess, a little bit like you, of just, okay, let's just get the frameworks right and let's build the processes so that when things do get hectic again, I'm not feeling like, you know, a chook with my head cut off and running around like absolutely nuts all the time. So, but yeah, it's a really weird feeling, I think, at the moment, especially when you are a busy person or you're used to hustling or you do love, you know, you get satisfaction out of achieving big goals and constantly putting yourself out of your comfort zone. It's almost like a really interesting time to get comfortable with, because you can't be doing a huge amount of that right now.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I am all about just kind of heroing the simplicity. I know the word hustle seems like, oh, we'd always want something new all the time to digest, and our attention then starts to go like, okay, I need to refresh. I need a new goal. I need to achieve this. I need more to feel success. And it's just more about, I find that in that stillness and space is heroing in just, you can be on the hustle with the same thing. You know what, yes, I mean? Like wake up, it doesn't have to be a revolving door and look different every day. I find that that's the challenge of it all, to show up. You know, when I was day one, I was a rookie on tour 12 years ago. And then to show up now, like when I was there, I was like, bright eyed. I was like, yeah, I'm going to win the world title. It's all going to happen in this first year. And I'm just going to take people down. And it's like, woo, woo, all new, fresh. And then you get 12 years down the track. And to be able to get up with enthusiasm and then apply yourself to the task of gym or paddling out for that session and allowing it space to show you the story and not pushing for an answer or something to have a finish line and going, yep, done, tick, and to actually just live in it. I find that is the daily meditation, to actually wake up and do the same thing but apply yourself. And a lot of people will come to me and they say, oh, well, 2020, that was supposed to be huge. You know, you could have won the world title this year, go to the Olympics and all these big hoorah moments. And I think the appreciation in myself is like, I feel so calm at this point in my career to say, I don't need this big occasion or someone there like clapping or, as I say, with the pom-poms going, yeah, you did it, to make it feel like that was worth my while. It sounds simple, but sometimes it really is hard to keep doing the same thing without acknowledgement or you know, we're not seeing a lot of people right now. We're not connected to that peer group that are going, how'd you do it? What is it? Yeah, good job. And so I find if we can all pick that up and go, and there's surges, you know, you'll feel the surges too, Mads, where you go like, oh, is this, am I just doing the same thing on the hamster wheel? I need something new. But I find that if you just let it wait and let that stoke rise up and calm down and let all the emotions flow through, but just show up and take pride in your work, that's all, yes, you got to do for the day. Just
absolutely, yeah,
just do good and just keep doing it.
It's so funny that you say that, because prior to this all happening, and I guess having, you know, Georgia in my life now and that being my main priority, I was really starting to feel a little bit like, oh, am I done with the podcast? Like, am I done with having, you know, these conversations? Like, it felt like it was getting just a little bit too much, and I wasn't feeling like it was maybe giving me the same fulfillment that I was once upon a time getting from it. And it's just really interesting, I think, when things are then taken away from you out of your control. So when all of the restrictions were put in place and all of a sudden I couldn't travel and I couldn't go and do the interviews I wanted in person, all of a sudden I just found myself like craving it so much. And I realized just how much having these conversations with people like you fills me up and actually makes me be the best version of myself, and it allows me to be a better wife and a better mum. even though I guess we've got so much time at the moment, I've got less time because my time that I have is going into Georgia, you know, and it's her and I every day, which I'm just loving so much. But the little pockets of time I do get, like the hour where Ryan can sneak home from work early and I can do all I want to do is do a podcast and have one of these conversations, because I'm like, I know it's going to light me up so much. And so exactly what you're saying then, like to just keep being able to show up and to do your work. And I think, you know, this space has been quite interesting lately because, you know, every man and his dog is launching a podcast, and a lot of them are big personalities and have huge followings, and they're all cracking like the million downloads within a couple of months. And it's so easy to kind of look in someone else's lane and be like, oh my goodness, like they got there before me again, or, you know, oh, is this even worth it? So it has been nice to be able to be like, no, this is my job. This is what I love. And I'm going to continue to just put everything into it. And like you said, show up when I need, you know, each and every day. So I really liked that you touched on that, because I think it's such an important thing, no matter what industry you're in or what job it is that you're doing, like being able to show up and put your best foot forward every day is so, so powerful.
And almost let the shine wear off. I know that sounds really strange.
Absolutely.
There's a kind of a honeymoon period to everything you experience in life. It's human behavior that you pick something up and it's so exciting, and then it's going to get a little dull. And it's okay to let it, like those rises, that's the emotions that I'm talking about. But, you know, being on tour all these years has been that quest for the world title and coming close to it a zillion times, like getting runner up or this or that. But, and everyone goes, oh no, that must just break your heart. And you think to yourself, yeah, like it hurts to not quite get that goal. It's quite frustrating. You're like, oh man, I just missed it again. And you go back to the drawing board. But the thing is that I attest to is that I'll keep showing up. Like I'm not going anywhere. And I can even sometimes see that in my opponents that have, you know, claimed numbers like of world titles, and they've had a few of these big grandstand moments. But as opponents, they're looking at me like, wow, you're really not going away, are you? Like you just come back and you're just more enthusiastic to do it again. I'm like, yeah, because I enjoy that no matter what the result is. But the part I'm doing, my world title feat, is to be able to show up that next day and go to training no matter how much my heart broke that day before. Or, you know, I'll just go, well, I'll just keep showing up. And if I didn't, right now the surfing being included in the Olympics, if I thought after five attempts at the world title, I was like, oh man, I'm not going to do it, it's too frustrating, and like called it quits at year 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever it was, I wouldn't have had this opportunity to be going to an Olympic Games. But showing up, all the story unfolds for you. And the joy is all in there, but let the shine wear off, but keep going.
Yes, I love that so much. What does success mean to you? Like, how do you value or look at success?
Oh, success has evolved so much. Yeah, I find from that 17-year-old that I was when I said I was qualifying for the world tour and I was going up against all my idols, and I thought success was 100% that you just win this big cup, big trophy, you win the world title, you're champion of the world, you've reached utopia, and all the confetti comes down and your life changes. And then it starts to evolve into like, oh, well, as I observe those that have held the cup, it doesn't mean they, and I've shared stories with them, it doesn't make them any more fulfilled. There is that sense of what utopia was, it didn't really exist. They go back to life and they're like, oh, well, I've just pitfalled. I'm free falling. And I'm like, I've reached the goal, but I don't feel any more fulfilled. And so the more I kind of pieced it together of what I felt was success, or was what we just spoke about in being able to, success for me is just the pride in the day-to-day work. So whether I'm channeling that into learning to properly clean a house and not have, because we go to hotels every 2 weeks, and so we have, like, you have house, like people come in and clean your room, that kind of thing. To actually learn how to properly clean a house is like legit, it's crazy, it's proper proper training. And then all these things, but to take pride in that process, to properly mop the floor all the way through, to be able to cook something for my family, to be able to go into the gym and take pride in each session when I put my head on the pillow at night, that for me feels successful.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And you too, you also do that with your relationships. You're such an incredible person to be around, and you put so much energy into all of your relationships. And that's something I really, really admire about you. And I think it's why I've just always taken so much inspiration from you, because the way that you make people feel when you're in their presence is such a beautiful thing. And like, I look at that as success as well. Like, to be able to make people feel that way when you're in their presence is such a beautiful quality. So I love that you look at it that way. And I think sometimes that can be the biggest issue with setting goals or having these almighty things to conquer, is that sometimes we hit them and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that actually didn't feel as good as I thought it was going to. And I know I definitely felt that turning 30, and I know you're about to turn 30 this year, but you know, I remember when I was younger and I had all these like goals of how much I wanted to earn by the time I was 30 and, you know, owning a home and all of this stuff that was quite materialistic. And then getting to 30, it was just really funny because I just thought none of that stuff matters at all. And there's not one part of me that would feel more successful or less successful if I had them or not. It's just about being completely happy and whole with who you are. And like you said, showing up every day and putting pride into the work that you do. So yeah, how are you feeling personally about hitting the big 3-0?
It's pretty wild. I feel as though 30, I don't know, maybe in surf years it's like dog years, because I feel as though I'm still 15, if that's how dog scale works, but I still feel as though I'm 15, 16, 17, and I feel as though riding a surfboard and chasing the endeavors I am, it just has this electric feel to it. And whether it's like youth serum or whatnot, but I don't really feel like I've been on tour for 12 odd years or traveling for 20 years, but I have. So I kind of, in a sense, I feel as though maybe as we get towards 30, there's some really, the authenticity part really comes into it. And the values, I feel as though between 20 and 30, we kind of get a bit scrambled eggs. We're trying to be so many things. We're trying to achieve or build something or start relationships. And you start to go on little tangents. And I find that we all kind of evolve and that our just, I don't know, just that whole feeling of who you are, I feel as we get closer to 30, you pull them back off the shelf, those really authentic values you have from 10 to 20, and you kind of hero them more, and you do a little less and keep heroing more the bits of gold. And so I feel really calm to be going into this phase. I feel as though that it was like going out into a big stormy surf session. Through your 20 to 25 or 25 to 30, you go like, okay, like I know I can handle this, but you're just getting waves and things and going over the falls, and you're just like, which way is up? Which way am I going? And then I feel now that, you know, you're kind of paddling out at a dreamy, turning 30, you're paddling out at a dreamy kind of right-hand point break and taking off and just kind of getting tubed. So it's a little more offshore when you get towards 30.
Oh, that is so good. I loved the scrambled eggs.
You get so scrambled. And you think,
so true. It
you
is
don't
so
know
true.
You're in it, right? You, at Absolutely. That time, you don't feel like a different person, but just by maybe environment or people you're hanging out with or things you're trying to build or a workplace or whatever it is, trying to fit in, wanting more or whatever it is, you just go, oh, okay, well, that was a good try, but it wasn't quite me.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That is so good. Now, final question is, what does the future hold for you, Sal?
Oh, just waking up and being me. Future of being me is the only way I can navigate through what I'm imagining 30 to 40 is like. And the future, I find, you know, for me to really own my craft and own my passion and love to keep going at not only chasing a world title or an Olympic dream, but developing as a surfer. There's so many things on my board that take so much time to learn, like some of the aerial tricks or surfing some crazy kind of tube riding sort of waves. It takes so much time to build these things, and I'm really, none of that enthusiasm has kind of gone away. So I feel as though I want to keep pursuing this. It's, you know, I still feel so young in my sport. So I think just by being me and loving my craft, I think the rest of the stuff will just evolve. It'll just blossom around that. And yeah, so as long as I just keep those core values, I feel like I'll be on a pretty good course and just set sail, and wherever that takes me, I'm pretty happy with.
Oh, well, I can't wait to continue watching it. You are just incredible role model. And I always say whenever I speak to you, you're my little ray of sunshine, because you just put so much light into my life. So thank you so much for being here today on the show. I'm sorry we couldn't do it in person, but I can't wait to give you a massive hug when I see you next time. And yeah, I just thank you for all your wisdom you've shared with my audience. So thank you.
Oh, no, the pleasure's all mine, Mads, and we'll definitely have to do an in-person ep 2.
Absolutely, part 2.
And in the meantime, I'm so stoked for all the healthy hustlers out there. Keep going, guys. You got this.
Oh, thanks, Sal. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @TheHealthyHustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.